Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. What one believes does make a difference. It is important and has an effect in molding his attitude and his outlook on life. It affects his hope and his service to God and to his fellow man. We have been told that 70% of so-called Christians believe in what is called the doctrine of premillennialism in one form or another. Now, there are many variations to that doctrine, and it's difficult to know them all and to keep them separate. But there are certain points that are generally and basically acceptable to all premillennial theorists. We contend that any departure that is contrary to and derogatory toward the truth of God is deserving of repudiation, and premillennialism is such a doctrine. The theory makes the assertion that Christ came to establish his kingdom, but upon being rejected by the Jews, he postponed the kingdom and returned to heaven, established the church instead as a temporary substitute. The theory continues with Jesus returning again for the saints, silently and suddenly raising the righteous into what is called a rapture, leaving the wicked here on earth for what is called the tribulation for a period of 7 years. Then, Jesus coming again at the end of this 7 years with his saints. Then the Jews, we are told, will be miraculously transported to Israel and converted, and the temple will be rebuilt. Christ will then set up his kingdom and reign literally and actually on this earth for 1,000 years with Jerusalem as his capital city. And at the end of the 1,000 years, the forces of good and evil shall engage in a physical warfare called the Battle of Armageddon, at which time the wicked shall be banished into punishment and the righteous taken into heaven. Friend, this theory is alternately called the future kingdom theory, or the 1,000-year reign of Christ theory, and other such terms. I reject this doctrine as false, it's unbiblical, it's destructive, and wish to present a number of biblical reasons why I am convinced of that. Now, while some have called the theory harmless because it deals with what may yet be, I shall show to you it is not harmless, because it would uproot the truth and make the entire scripture message suspect to error. The theory means the kingdom does not yet exist. Yet we read in the Bible those in the church at Colossae were in the kingdom, Colossians 1 and verse 13, as were those in Ephesus, Ephesians 2 and verse 19, as were those to whom John wrote in Revelation 1 and verse 9. How could people be citizens in a kingdom that does not even yet exist? Yet they were in the kingdom. The theory degrades the church by making it just an afterthought, a substitute, something different from the kingdom. Those in the church, however, were said to be in the kingdom, Colossians 1:13, Revelation 1:9, once again. And Jesus used the terms kingdom and church interchangeably in Matthew 16:16-18. Furthermore, Jesus said he would not commune in the Lord's Supper again until in the kingdom, Luke 22 and verse 18. Now, if that be true, and it is, the kingdom is not yet future because those in the Corinthian church were observing the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Why do premillennialism of people observe the Lord's Supper at all, since they say the kingdom has not yet come? But Matthew 18 and verse 3 teaches that the converted are in the kingdom. Furthermore, if the kingdom is not yet, then Paul's designation of Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would be false, and he did that in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15. Acts chapter 2 teaches that God has already raised up Jesus to sit on the throne of David, a spiritual throne. Jesus Christ is king over his kingdom now. He was to be a king and priest after the order of Melchizedek, who was king and priest at the same time. Now there cannot be any question but Christ is priest now, Hebrews chapter 6 and chapter 9. He is both king and priest at the same time, as was Melchizedek, Genesis 14 and verse 18. This theory would make the Lord's kingdom an earthly kingdom, even though Jesus said it was not of this world, John 18:36. His is a spiritual kingdom. Now some look for his kingdom to be an earthly kingdom when he came the first time. Some are still making the same kind of mistake as to the nature of his kingdom. And even though Paul was charged with treason for preaching another king than Caesar, Acts 17 and 7, the kind of king Paul preached was a spiritual king, not one that would rule and reign as an earthly king. Furthermore, the theory makes the Lord's footstool his throne. Yet in Acts chapter 7 and verse 29 it teaches, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." Friend, the Lord's church, his kingdom, has no earthly headquarters. Its headquarters is where its head is, which is in heaven, not Jerusalem. And again, the theory makes Christ a false prophet. For Jesus said the kingdom would come in the lifetime of those to whom he was speaking, Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. And if it is not yet come, Jesus was dead wrong. The theory makes John the Baptist a false prophet also, for John had preached that the kingdom was at hand. And if it has not yet come, John was wrong. Such would also be true of the 12 apostles and the other 70 inspired men sent forth to preach the same message. Again, the theory makes Daniel a false prophet. Daniel chapter 2 tells of a dream of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, which Daniel interpreted to refer to four kingdoms that would come, the first being Babylon, and in the days of that fourth kingdom, which corresponds to the Roman Empire, God would establish his kingdom, Daniel 2, verse 44. But if the kingdom did not come then Daniel missed it, and he cannot be called a true prophet of God. Furthermore, in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel pictures the Son of Man coming to the Ancient of Days to receive a kingdom, verses 13 and 14. Now this refers to the ascension of Christ, of which we read in Acts chapter 1, and is like the teaching of Jesus in Luke 19, when the nobleman went to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Please notice, the kingdom was received before the return, not after the return, as the theory demands. Again, the premillennial theory makes more than one return of Christ, and more than one resurrection. It asserts that he will come for the righteous, and take them into what is called a rapture. Then he will come again for the third time to defeat all the enemies and set up his kingdom. But the Bible teaches only one return. Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." John 11 and verse 24. Lazarus was righteous, and if the theory be true, he would be raised to what is called that rapture, and that before the last day. But Jesus allowed her understanding of the resurrection to stand, and he said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." John 5, 28 and 29. Friend, the Bible teaches, both the good and the evil shall be raised the same hour. 2 Peter chapter 3 teaches the world shall end when the Lord returns. But this theory has over 1,000 years to continue after he comes again. The truth of the matter regarding the kingdom is that Jesus is not going to set up his kingdom when he comes, but as 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24 teaches, he will deliver up the kingdom to the Father. But look again. The theory bypasses the plan of salvation for the Jews It asserts an instantaneous, miraculous salvation of the Jews, as well as their miraculous transfer to the land of Canaan. This eliminates the need to preach the gospel to the Jews, even though Paul did and thought it necessary. It means they do not have to believe and obey as do Gentiles. Paul and Peter, however, taught that God is no respecter of persons, Acts 10, 34, 35. They taught that both shall be saved the same way, Acts 15 and verse 9, Romans 3 and verse 20. The system degrades the power and the ability of God to fulfill His promises. Did God really make the promise of the coming of the kingdom and then go back on these promises because the Jews rejected Christ? Paul said He did not, Romans 3 and verse 3. And if God failed to carry out what He prophesied and promised once before, do you suppose He might do it again at the next coming of Christ? Who else might reject Him and cause Him to change His mind? Could we really count on God to keep His word if this theory be true? No, friend, the establishment of the kingdom was not predicted on the acceptance of Jesus by the Jews anyway. And much is made by premillennialists of Revelation chapter 20, where there is mention of 1,000 years. But friend, the book of Revelation is a highly figurative book, with various colored horses and riders, swords coming out of mouths, names written on the thighs of the Lord, the mark of the beast on foreheads, the key to a bottomless pit, the binding of Satan, a spiritual creature with a chain, the smiting of nations with a rod of iron, a dragon whose tail knocks out 1/3 of the stars of heaven. Now that's some dragon, if actually a dragon, and some tail. And souls, martyred souls, crying out from under an altar, who were those who had been beheaded. Now in the midst of this kind of symbolic and figurative language is the phrase about 1,000 years. And yet, the premillennialists insist that while everything else is figurative, the 1,000 years must be actual and literal. There is no sense whatsoever to that kind of misinterpretation. Unfortunately for premillennialists, Revelation chapter 20 omits some basic things necessary for that theory. It does not mention the bodily resurrection of anybody. It doesn't mention the return of Christ. It doesn't mention anybody's reign on earth. It doesn't mention Jerusalem. Nor does it even include people today. Rather, it is a figurative picture of victory of the martyrs and the cause of Christ in spite of the persecution that they had endured. The premillennial theory violates biblical teaching that the Christian age is the last age, the last days, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. The Bible teaches that Judaism has run its course and its purposes have been accomplished. But they're going to have the temple to be rebuilt and things start all over again. The theory makes Jeremiah a false prophet, and there's no way premillennialists can even respond to this next point, let alone reasonably set it aside. Jeremiah 22 and verse 30 reads, "Thus saith the Lord, write this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah." Now the man under consideration was King Coniah, sometimes called Jehoiakim or Jeconiah. He was the next to the last king of Judah before Judah fell to Babylon and to Nebuchadnezzar. The last king was Zedekiah. Coniah had no descendant to reign on the throne in Jerusalem, nor would he ever have a descendant to reign on a throne in Jerusalem. Significantly, Zedekiah was not his descendant because Zedekiah was his uncle. Also significantly, Coniah is listed in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 11. Now, how can Jesus reign in Jerusalem and not make the prophecy of Jeremiah false. But you keep in mind, Jeremiah spoke the word of the Lord. Maybe the prophet and the Lord were wrong, and the premillennialists are right. Do you really believe that? The theory makes Paul's preaching regarding the way of victory for the Lord's kingdom to be false. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Indeed, we are in a warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare. And our victory will be won through spiritual weapons and armaments, such as listed in Ephesians chapter 6, rather than through an actual physical warfare of extermination of the wicked, as the premillennial theory dictates. Premillennialism cannot be harmonized, friend, with the Scripture. It contradicts so much that the Bible teaches clearly, and degrades so much that the Bible exalts. It is actually a wild, speculative, imaginative, sensational, mysterious theory that attempts to predict the future and turn the earth into heaven itself. It cannot be believed and believe the teaching of the Bible at the same time. So we must choose which we shall believe. Now, there are prominent people, such as Billy Graham, a wide variety of Pentecostal doctors who loudly proclaim this theory in some fashion one way or another. And many listen to their invented theories, and they go off after these false teachers. Well, this is not a minor matter, as some liberals, even in the church, would have us to think. It is a matter of the deity of Christ, the accuracy of the inspiration of the Scriptures, the integrity of the Word of God, and it affects our very salvation. Well, we cannot and we will not bow before the ways of men regarding this false doctrine, just like we cannot afford to adopt the false doctrines of men on any other subject. To do so is to bring upon us God's wrath and our own condemnation. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.